الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Still discussing the qualities of the Ibadur Rahman, the special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first quality was of tawadu, humility which they have within themselves, and the jazba of khidmat. And let's remember one point here regarding this. Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahmatullahi alayhi, once he mentioned in a majlis, in a gathering, he says that alhamdulillah, I was married for 40 years or 50 years. But he says in that 40 or 50 years, that's not once did I ever ask my wife for anything. This is a very high level of abadiyat and servitude. You know, like normally you say, just bring me that salt from there, or cook this for me today. There's nothing wrong with asking. I'm just showing his level. And he says the second thing is that whenever my wife told me anything, the wife will tell her husband something, hurt her feelings, whatever. He said not once my face ever changed also. My face never even changed. I understood وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. What a high level of abadiyat and servitude. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq also. So this jazba of khidmat also at home. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha says that somebody asked her that how was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at home. So she said Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was like a normal human being. He came home, he used to milk the goats himself, he used to do the household work himself, he used to assist, he used to mend his own shoes. So that also must come within ourselves. There are many men, time they'll sit down on the dasturkhan and they wait for the food to come, and then they'll wake up and they'll go away. It's the wife's duty to pick up the plates. I can't pick up the, I'm a man. How can a man pick up the plate? I can't assist at home. I can't clean the dishes. I can't sweep the floor. But these qualities have to come in a person. This of humility, servitude. I also must make khidmat at home. If a person thinks the wife, she works 7 days a week, and 24, she's working the whole day, and she doesn't get off. Like we'll have office days. Friday, Sunday is off. We're getting public holidays off. This is our off time. But the woman, they work 7 days. They're working in the kitchen, breakfast, lunch, supper. How long it takes for a person to cook, to make that effort. So may Allah give us tawfiq. We also learn how to serve them. Allah give myself as the tawfiq. See that we also help and assist at home also. We shouldn't have this attitude of pride that how can I do household work? But this was a great sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also. So anyhow, this was the first quality, tawadu, humility. Number two of hilm, forbearance. And number three, that they have spend the night in ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the quality of shukr we can say. And number four, that they never had this ujab within themselves, pride, but they always feared Rabbana sif anna azab jahannam, oh Allah remove from us the azab of jahannam. And the dua, the sifat of dua was within them to a great extent. And the quality which we discussed yesterday was they would spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the money which Allah had given them, they wouldn't waste that money. And thus, if you look at the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, especially for our nikahs, we started mentioning yesterday how people unfortunately are wasting so much of money. Whereas the nikahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were very, very simple. So much so, one of the Ashra Mubashara, Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, was one of the 10 special Sahaba close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, they were given glad tidings of Jannah. He was very, very close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed him, and he had a yellow kind of ether on his clothing, and this clothes, this ether was used when a person gets married normally. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam noticed it on him, and he asked him that, have you got married? So then he said, yes, he got married. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him if he had walima. He told him to encourage him to have walima. But imagine he was living in Medina Munawara. Medina Munawara was very, very small. Azarbal is still very big. Medina Munawara, where Masjid al-Nabawi is today, that Masjid al-Nabawi with the white tiles, that was the whole of Medina Munawara. Just where the Masjid al-Nabawi is today, where the tiles around it, there was the whole of Medina Munawara. Qabristan, Baqi, that was on the outskirts of Medina Munawara. It wasn't part of Medina Munawara. It was regarded as the outskirts of Medina Munawara. So we can imagine how small Medina Munawara was. All the time they're meeting Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But it was so simple, the nikahs, that there was no need to even tell Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A famous story of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu and Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu was going to get married. So he told his friend, you know what, you got no family, so please can you do me a favor, go to that person's house, I'm interested in their daughter. So he said, no problem, I'll go, I'll take a proposal on your behalf. So he goes to the house, he says, you know my friend, Salman, he wants to get married to your daughter, a very good person he is. So their parents, they heard, they said, you know what, we don't like our daughter to get married to Salman, but you are a good person, you don't want to get married to our daughter. So he said, no problem, I'll get married to the daughter, I'll get married. So anyhow, they performed it, it was so simple, they made the nikah straight away. No long, fancy, 3 months, 6 months waiting, etc. Simple nikah, they must have performed it in the house also, even though it's best in the masjid. But the nikah will take place there, you got the witnesses, and they performed the nikah. A short while later, Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu comes to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Imagine he comes to us, what happened about that proposal? So now Abu Darda radiallahu anhu is feeling shy. You know, how what answer? I'm feeling very shy to tell you. See, in other words, he said no. You know, it's even worse than that. He said, they wanted me to get married to their daughter. So I accepted the proposal and I made my nikah already. So the Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, look at the heart of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. What pure heart. He said, they asked you for maafi, they asked you for forgiveness. And what was written for you, your taqdeer, I was trying to intrude in that. SubhanAllah, this was a Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the heart. Allah Ta'ala give us the clean heart also. So how simple the nikahs was. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most of his nikahs, the one nikah, he was on a journey, he was going for Umrah. And I forget which wife it was. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proposed for her, she accepted. On the journey, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he makes the nikah in Ihram. In Ihram. He goes to Makkah Mukarramah, he performs his Umrah, he asked the people of Makkah Mukarramah that I would like to perform my walima. He said, no, you only three days must go out. We don't want you to stay any extra. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves. He comes back to this place where he performed the nikah. He consummated marriage there. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, whatever food you got, bring it. So whoever was there, they all brought one plate, whatever they had, some cheese, some bread. They put it on the dasturkhan. Everyone ate. That was the walima of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you study all the different walimas of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very, very simple. Besides Zainab radiallahu anha's walima, because that was performed in the heavens, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a bit of a bigger dawat where he cooked meat. It was the only one where the meat was cooked. And there also Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited many people of Madina Munawwara. They came, 10 people ate in his house. Then they went out. The next 10 people came, they went out. Next 10 people came, they went out. There was no need for big halls. There was no need for big dawats, etc. Simplicity. This was the hallmark of the nikahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there was no long wait. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was 6 years old. So she proposed, she was too small to start living with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they made the nikah. Made the nikah, rukhsati will take place after 3 years. Even the other incident we mentioned now, that he was going for Umrah, he didn't say after Umrah we'll see the nikah. Straight away the nikah was performed. The rukhsati can take place sometime later. Hazrat Umm Habiba radiallahu anha was in Abyssinia. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say no one come from Abyssinia. Immediately he sent somebody as a proxy, perform the nikah. And then he sent somebody to go and fetch Hazrat Umm Habiba radiallahu anha. So the nikahs were very, very simple and quickly. As soon as the proposal came, the answer came, obviously a person must first do investigations, find out properly whether this person is suitable or not. But once a person is happy and they want to perform, then make the nikah. Nikah is something very, very simple. As the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi, he got his daughters married to Hazrat Inamul Hasan Sahib and Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi. They were still in the fifth year of their studies. And as the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi, they had won the jalsa, it was the annual jalsa. Mawlana Madini rahmatullah alayhi was there. So he said, there's two boys here, got two daughters, perform the nikah. As the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi was the father. Father doesn't even need the permission of the daughter. And the daughters, they would have accepted, as the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi, you know, our father desires the best for us. And these were family boys also. So anyhow, they perform the nikah. As the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi comes home, he tells his wife, she said, hey, you should have told me before this, I would have prepared some clothing for them. Normally, for new clothing, he meant. As the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi said, if I knew my daughters were walking around naked, I would have made clothing long time ago for them. They got clothing, whatever clothing they got, send them off in there. They were led to do their final year. They were studying in Saharanpur. So they used to study the whole week. On Thursday night and Jummah night, they will come. Hazrat Shaykh Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi will spend his night by Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi's house. Mawlana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, they were somebody else, his house. They would spend the night with their wife and then go back to classes again for the rest of the week. They would say, no, now we have to study. Then after we qualify, I need a job. I need so much of money. Then only I'll make nikah, etc. And then only after they qualified, then they went back to their family houses. So this was how the simplicity, as the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi said, that his family people got very, very angry with him. And they wrote a lot of letters against him. And they said that this is what their problem with these Maulvis, that even the rats are starving in their house. There is no food for them also. They can't even give us one dawat. And they wrote that as the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi wrote back to them. He said, okay, I'm sorry I never invite you for dawat and for my family getting married. So please, you punish me. You don't send me for, invite me for any of your dawahs. So they wrote back to him and they said, no,
We make sure we can send two or three da'wahs for you every time because it's punishment for you.
But how simple our buzuruks were, and in the cause of very, very simple, Allah give us the reality. Haji Bhai Padre Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, somebody told him, you only got one son. He got a very big, nice walima. Haji Sahib said, this is the only one chance I got to follow the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So let me make it as simple as possible. And mashallah, they are those people, simple, the walima as well. Some people we know, that it was just, they performed the nikah. Next morning after Fajr, they called the people, they said, whoever was there for Fajr Salah, gave some milk shake, a little bit of kajur, that was the walima. Simple, nothing difficult about it. And in the Islamic wedding also, there is no side feeding from the girl side. This is a Christian custom, the Hindu custom. The Hindus, when their daughters are getting married, they get very, very happy. So they give a big party, so they send their daughter off. Normally a person gives a dowry when he's happy. You don't give a dowry, you give a dowry when you're sad. So that, at that time your daughter is leaving the house. It's a time of sadness. So you don't throw a big party at that time. The person is feeling sad. Happy also in one sense, but also sad on the other side. So logically also it doesn't make sense for a person to have a big dawah at that time. But unfortunately this is very, very common. We must have a big dawah from the girl's side. We invite so many people, hundreds of people, and then there's no barakah and blessings left in the wedding, in that nikah, in that marriage. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we don't waste our money. Our buzurgs have mentioned that if a person uses his money in the correct avenues, in the correct places, he'll always find barakah and blessings in his money. He'll never go through poverty. Even if a person goes for hajj, as Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah has written, a person has gone for hajj, so much of money is spent. But it is the promise of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he'll never face poverty, that person. Allah will give him a lot of barakah in his money. But he says so many people who, because of rusumat, of customs, they get involved in it. And because of that, so much of money is wasted. People who are rich, rich people become bankrupt also. They lose all their money, they go into debt. And they can't come out of the debt. So what and what problems they go through. This is when a person wastes money. So Allah give us tawfiq that they, especially in our nikahs. I met one person in Pakistan, many when you were Hazrat Rakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He said, our customs are so much that I only collected half the money because in our, to get married, you need so much of money. So he says, now 10 years I'm proposed already. I'm already 30 years. I only collected half the money. It'll take me another 10, 15 years before I collect all the money. Then I'm going to get married. So then Hazrat Mawlana Madhar Sahib, alhamdulillah, he helped him in assisting whatever, and the nikah was performed in a simple way. Maybe he gave him some money also, whatever, Allah knows best. But all his customs, and a person has to make some mujahada sacrifice. Normally you will get a lot of opposition when a person wants to bring a life sunnat. But if a person goes through it, inshallah, he will see himself how much of goodness and khair will come out from there. Allah give us all tawfiq that we try to follow the sunnah tariqah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, especially in our nikahs, because this is something which unfortunately so much of wastage is taking place there, and there's no barakah there after left in the nikahs. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا, when they spend, لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا, they don't make israf, they don't spend over the limit, unnecessary, waste money. وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا, and they are not stingy also. They have to spend, they will spend in the correct avenues, they will spend on their family members. They are not bakhil and stingy also. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا, they follow the middle path. And this is, it comes in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, مَا عَالَمَ نِقْتَسَدَ, a person who follows the path of moderation, he will never become poor. مَعَالَ مَنْ يَقْتَسَدَ, a person who follows the path of moderation, he will never ever become poor, he will never come into want. So this is the most superior way, that a person follows the path of moderation. As Imam Muhammad Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that he says, how much a person earns is not within a person's capability, but how much a person spends is within his capability. So if you are earning 5,000 rand, so live within 5,000 rand. Don't live to 7,000 rand. If a person is earning 3,000 rand, live so much. Because sometimes you can't earn more, you are working for a certain job. No extra work you can do. So live within your means. Whatever you are earning, eat so much of food. Don't eat more than what you are living. Inshallah, a person will live a very, very happy life. I won't live with parashani, worries, that these people are after me now, and I haven't got money to pay off. And how many people, unfortunately, because of debt, rich people also, they are in debt. They can't sleep at all. There's one person, he couldn't sleep at night. Walking up and down, pacing up and down. His wife asked him, well, what happened? He said, no, I'm supposed to pay my debt tomorrow. And I haven't got no money in the bank. And the person I gave him the check, and the thing is in the bounce. Very parashan, I'm very, very worried. So the wife said, no, it's not a very, very problem. So she lifted up the phone, she phoned a friend, the person who he owed the money. She said, you know what, my husband got no money in the bank, and he can't pay you, so you'd have to wait for another 2-3 months. And she banged the phone down. She told her husband, now you come and sleep away. Now he'll be walking up and down the whole night. So a person now who's got this parashani and worry always of debt, it leads the person to big problems. Al-iqtisadu fi nafaqa nisful ma'isha. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a person choosing moderation in his livelihood, in spending, etc. This is al-iqtisadu fi nafaqa, in his
spending.
This is half of livelihood. And the person chooses moderation in the day. So a person in all our matters, Allah give us tawfiq, a person learns how to be thrifty in spending. A person doesn't waste, and a person is not stingy also. In this Allah has placed a lot of barakah and blessings. The next quality Allah Ta'ala mentions of the Ibadur Rahman is that the Ibadur Rahman, they do not involve themselves in guna and sins. When all the ibadat we have mentioned so far is all positive actions. But now is the negative. That the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not get involved in gunas and sins. And this guna and sin is one of the main barriers which stops the person from reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentioned three usul, three principles. The first one is aqaid. A person, his aqidah is correct. He doesn't follow the wrong aqidah and belief. That's also in today's time. We have to be very, very careful. This Darwin's theory of evolution and the Big Bang theory is so common in our schools, and people are learning it, and it's coming in their mind, and this is the right belief. Small children, 8 years, 9 years old, and this is the belief they are getting within themselves, that we have come from a monkey, our forefathers were monkeys, etc. So they are believing in this, whereas this is completely against the text of the Quran Sharif. And in all the schools, once I gave a bayan about this in one masjid, and this person is saying, one person he came in, he said, my child is in a Muslim school. And the other day I went past my child, and she is standard 7, standard 6, whatever, and she was learning all that nonsense. And he said, I was shocked that my children are learning this. It's all things of kufr. And he outwardly also is a pious person, but he has a fikr and concern within himself. And he said, she's studying in a Muslim school. She said, no, it's exam time. I have to learn all of these things. Now a person is writing words of kufr. What is the level of that person's iman? We saw as the muftis. And the teacher who is teaching in the class also. If the teacher is teaching in the class and the teacher says, just reading from the textbook, that we have come from a monkey, because that's written in the book. And you don't go against it saying that this is nonsense. This is completely kufr. The person also loses their iman. And whoever they are teaching, also their iman is also lost. So this is something which a person has to be very, very careful. What are our children learning also? Even if that we are doing homeschooling also, going to a homeschool like nearby, but the textbooks which people are learning, it's all from the same places. So there's a lot of kufr and disbelief in these things. So we have to be very, very careful exactly. And our iman is the most valuable thing. May Allah Ta'ala protect and save every one of us. So Allah says the first quality is that the aqidah is correct. And وَلَا يَكْتُرُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. They do not kill anybody. They do not kill those people who Allah has made haram upon them, unless there is a reason for it. And وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. They do not get involved in the action of zina and fornication. Qatal, inshallah, there will be none of us who will be killing people. But in today's time, qatal, where a person is killing, abortion, it has become very, very common, even amongst our Muslim people. Abortion. So this also is completely haram for a person to kill a child. And another kind of killing, Mawlana Ahmad Lahori rahmatullahi mentioned, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أُولَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاكُ. Do not kill your children out of the fear of poverty. He says the people of Jahiliyyah in the Arabs, they used to kill their children because when their children get big, then I won't be able to look after them, so they used to kill them physically. He says in today's time we are killing our children spiritually because of the fear of poverty. He says because I'm frightened my child won't get money in life, he won't get a degree. So because of this we deprive them of deeni knowledge. He says spiritually we are killing our children. So you see, this is another type of killing our children. So this Allah Ta'ala says, do not kill your own children, do not kill the people, except those people who Allah Ta'ala has given permission. And there are three people in Shariat which Allah has given permission. One person murdered somebody else, then you can kill that person in retaliation. Another is a person who becomes a murtad, he leaves the fall of Islam, he can be killed also. A third person is a person who had made zina, fornication. He's a married person, adultery. And he still, Allah has given him so many bounties. Allah Ta'ala has given him buluh. Allah has made him a free person. Allah has given him Islam. Allah has given him a halal wife. And despite all of these bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person goes and commits zina, commits adultery. Then this person is not fit to be live on the surface of the earth. And the punishment for him also is very, very severe. He must be stoned to death. He'll be taken and stones will be thrown upon him. And eventually he'll be killed. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. So Allah Ta'ala says, wala yaznoon. The next quality is, they do not make zina, they do not make fornication, adultery. And this unfortunately has become very common also amongst the Muslim people. Whereas there are many, many hadith which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the night of Mi'raj, he saw certain people boiling in an oven, men, naked men and women, burning inside there. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Jibreel Alaihi Wasallam, who are these people? These are the people of your ummah who used to commit zina and adultery and fornication. And in this world also, zina is such an action which will lead a person eventually to poverty. In certain narrations, it will create poverty in a person. So what poverty means, sometimes a person has got money, but is always parishan, always worried. That is a form of poverty also. And sometimes Allah Ta'ala completely removes all his wealth. Allah Ta'ala takes it away. As was mentioned here also, Mufti Ibrahim Desai Sahab, a few years ago in the Jalsa, he mentioned one incident of one person, a very, very wealthy person. And how, because he got involved in zina, fornication, eventually Allah Ta'ala made such all his money he lost.
Eventually he came, he phoned Mufti Sahib. He said, Mufti Sahib, this is my last 2 rand or 5 rand I put in the call box. I got no money at all. I have to have an appointment with you. So he said, this is my last 2 rand which I've got in my pocket. I got no other money besides this. All his millions or whatever, he had lost it because of this zina and fornication. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in one hadith, لا تزنوا فتذهب لذة نسائكم. Do not make zina. Otherwise the enjoyment of your woman will be taken away. Today many, many people complain that I've got no enjoyment in my wife. The one main reason for this is a person is making zina in different degrees. One is zina of the eyes, zina of the ears, zina of the mouth. The different degrees of zina a person is making, and one is the actual action of zina a person is doing. So then how can there be enjoyment in that person's life? He won't have any enjoyment in his wife. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the enjoyment of your woman will be taken away. عِفُوا عَنِ النِّسَىٰ تَعُفُوا نِسَاءُكُمْ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you stay away from other women. You'll be chaste and be a pure person. Stay away from other women, your woman will remain chaste. And if you are not, كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ, as you do, so will be done upon you. Now a person is saying, my wife, she left me, or my wife is going around with another man. But a person must look into his own life. Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri Sahib, Dawud Barakatuh, mentioned one incident of one, he was an alim of deen. And this person unfortunately fell in love with one woman, a very evil woman. He was spending some time with her, and he was the imam of the town. He wasn't married as yet. So the mutawallis got together and said, you know what, get this person married, let's make him mashwara. Marriage is a solution for this. So then you know, they got him married. And when they got him married, they expected now him to stop this year. But he was such a person, this haya had come out of him, shame had come out of him. So he used to bring this woman, this other evil woman, into his house, in front of his wife. And he tell his wife must cook for her also. And then he'll take her in the room, he'll do haram with her, and then he'll send her away. Imagine now this woman also, she was living there, and what she must have been going through. She was a very pure woman. But anyhow, eventually the town people got very, very upset with this year. And the time came, eventually they said, enough is enough now. They kicked the imam out of the place, they got rid of him, and they sent him to another place. So anyhow, after a few years, somebody went to visit that man. Now he had become old. And now they see him sitting out of the house. And they say, what happened? He said, Allah Ta'ala has punished me. He said, now I have become old. Now my wife, she's still pretty, she's still good looking. So now, she gets other men from the town, and they come and spend time with her, and she kicks me out of the house. So, عِفُوا عَنِ النِّسَىٰ تَعُفُوا نِسَاءُكُمْ. You stay away from other women, your woman will remain chaste. And if you are a filthy person, then also filthy things will happen to you. There was one person in a nearby area here. One person living with his wife. So he looked at his wife's phone, and on the phone was a picture of, and one person in the town was outwardly supposed to be very, very pious, and he had a naked picture of him and on his wife's phone. So he got a shock of his life. So he phoned that house to find out. So the wife of the other house, she picked up the phone and she answered. And she got a shock of the life. He said, your husband sent a picture, and I think my wife's picture also is on your husband's phone. So the husband was so upset, immediately he divorced his wife the same night. And that side also, the other woman packed her bags. She said, I'm not staying here with this person. Outwardly supposed to have been a pious person. She left the house, and this man, this rich man, he divorced his wife immediately. That night he sent her away. Now she also got no place to go. She was involved in zina. That person who she was having an affair with, he said, I got nothing to do with you. I was just enjoying myself. So he was in Parishan, this lady was in Parishan. This rich man, now he had divorced his wife. And the other man, his wife was there, she was a chaste woman. She said for her iddat, this rich man proposed to her. He said, I'm going to show that man what wrong he did to my wife, I'll take his wife back also, in a halal way. So she was very happy, she accepted the proposal. So the two were living a halal life, now they're living very happily. And those two were living a haram, their life is destroyed. So thori der ki lazzat, hamesha ki zillat. For a short while a person gets some enjoyment, and then he's embarrassed and there's disgrace forever and forever thereafter. So may Allah Ta'ala protect us from this evil. The person must use his aqal, use his brains. It's for a short while, a little bit of enjoyment. And what? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said something to the effect in one hadith. He says that what is by one is by the other person also. That a person is going towards haram. What is by your wife is exactly by the same thing by the other person. Only outwardly, it seems that, as we say, the packaging is slightly different. But what the contents inside is exactly the same thing. It says that the packaging is slightly different. So a person notices because of a little bit of color or something, a person goes and gets involved. And then many, many people thereafter say, because the hadith says, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when a woman emerges from a house, shaitan beautifies her for a man. So now a man gets involved with her, he does wrong with her, and thereafter he looks at her and he thinks, what a stupid fool I was. I had gold at home. How beautiful my wife was.
and I unfortunately fell into the gutter, into the drains here, and I disgraced myself, embarrassed myself. And remember, Wallahu Ghafoorur Rahim, Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Rahim is a quality of Allah Ta'ala in Akhirat. Allah will forgive a person, Allah will shower His mercy upon that person. But in this dunya, whatever effect a person has done, wrong a person has done, he can't undo the effect of it. People will always have this hold that person in very, very low. They will never have respect for that person. Even that woman who you did haram with, she'll never come to you, Hazrat, make dua for me also. Have respect for you, honor for you. Will always regard you as a disgraceful person. She won't have respect for you. She won't have respect for you. The town people who come to find out about it, and all the rest of the people, your family people, they never ever have respect for you in life. So just for a little bit of enjoyment, what a person goes into. When Yunus Padiyat Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned one incident, one of his murids, he went to one of these hotel rooms, and he did wrong there with one lady. And anyhow, when he came out, he went away back home. It happened, this woman passed away. She died. So now the police came in. They went through her book, and they found his name was there. He was a Musalli, a normal Muslim person. So imagine now they come to the house. They drag him out of his house in front of his wife and children. He's telling Maulana, you know what embarrassment I went through. And eventually they took him to jail. They locked him up. They did all the tests. Then they found out, no, she had a heart attack. It had nothing to do with this man. Then eventually he was freed. So he's telling Maulana, I made tawbah after that day. But what embarrassment I had to go through. Maulana told him, make shukr to Allah Ta'ala, you weren't the person who passed away. Imagine you passed away in that condition, what should have happened to you? And then Maulana mentions the incident of one young boy, Muslim girl, and boy in the car, they were together, one person came, he wanted to steal the car, he shot both of them, while they were engaged in the action of zina. So may Allah Ta'ala protect and save us. So for a little bit of enjoyment, a person mustn't be foolish and stupid, and destroy his whole life of the akhirat. So, may Allah Ta'ala says these three qualities, these three gunas and sins. First, the aqidah is correct, they do not kill anybody, and they do not make the guna, the action of zina. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَسَامَ. Whoever does this action, he will fall in the pit of Jahannam. Asama is one pit of Jahannam, which a person will get, which other parts of Jahannam actually seek protection from. He will find this here, portion of Jahannam. And from here the ulama say the best qualities, Allah has mentioned the three usul and principles. But it means every single kind of guna, a person must abstain from it. As Imam Shaqi Muhammad Aksar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned one beautiful incident. One of his friends was in the Tibiya college when they were studying. So anyhow, this friend explained to him once, that normally now a person is in college, your parents send for you some food for you, some stocks, what do you say, they send for the children some nice food, and the person waits for that day. So his parents, his mother sent for him some nice food. So anyhow, he took it, he locked it up in his locker, and he said, later on I'll eat it. But you always get naughty boys also. So some of his friends are naughty, they went, they broke his lock in a nice way, they didn't break it completely, they opened up the locker, they took out the food, and then they put the lock back again. So now he came later on, and maybe they even invited him for the dawat, and they had a nice dawat. He also ate, they ate also. And then eventually he goes back now, he's looking for his food, no food at all. So he was very, very upset, and he understood that these people had stolen his food. So he decided to teach him a lesson. So he went out, he bought some nice food, and then he brought it back, and he took Jamal Gota. You know, Jamal Gota, it's a laxative, a very, very strong laxative. You can, up to 25 times you can run to the toilet. So he took this injection, he took and he put it in a syringe, and he put a Jamal Gota inside. And he put it back in his locker. And he walked past all his friends, showing them, like, he got a lot of food from home again. He came, put it in his locker. Anyhow, they came again that night, they opened it, and then they caught the food now. Again, they gave him a dawat. He said, no, Jazakallah, I don't want to eat. Anyhow, they started eating. Not even finished eating, the one stomach started, gar, gar, gar. So now this person, he ran to the toilet. Second person, he's waking up, he's running to the toilet. The person in charge, the superintendent of the block, now he got worried, now the toilets are all full. Everybody's in the toilet the whole day. He said, maybe there's some sickness in the varsity. So he sent for the health inspectors to come and check up. Now, what are you having a problem here? They were so worried. People running up and down to the toilet. Why? Because outwardly the food was very, very nice. If only we knew there was Jamal Gota inside, we would never have eaten that food. So Hazrat says that exactly the same example of guna and sin. Every guna and sin outwardly looks very, very beautiful. But there's poison of shaitan there. There's Jamal Gota inside there. And the minute a person starts eating the day, outwardly you'll get a little bit of enjoyment. But then when the effects come eventually to a person, then a person is destroyed. The person comes and says, shaitan is called an insan ikfur. The example of shaitan when he tells a man to become a kafir, to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a man goes into that, قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكَ I'm free from you. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then shaitan runs away and he leaves the person in the lurch. So whatever guna, whatever sin there is, outwardly it looks and it seems very, very beautiful. But eventually what is the final result of it? There was one lady who wrote one article It's a bit funny article. But anyhow, she says one day she came home. It's not permissible, firstly, for a woman to walk in the shops. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said one sign of Qiyamah is a person, he will expand his business so much that eventually he will have to bring his woman folk into the shops. This is one sign of Qiyamah in which we see very, very open. Anyhow, this woman had come home one day. So when she came home, her husband, he met her at the door and said, "You know what, I've got a big, very big surprise for you." So then he blindfolded her. He said, "I don't want you to see." He blindfolded her and he took her inside the house. And he came in the house, he made her sit down, and then suddenly the phone rang. So the phone rang, he went into the other room. So now her stomach started paining, and she ate beans that day. So now when the person eats beans also, now sometimes the person's stomach is troubling. So anyhow, now the wind comes out also, a person feels very, very nice. So anyhow, the wind started coming out. Now she's sitting there, one, two winds, and she's loud also, and it's smelling also. And then she's lifting, sitting on one side, sitting on the other side, and taking all those winds out. And she got a cloth in front of her, and she's taking out the wind, and she can hear her husband on the phone still is talking. She said, "I got enough time, is it?" Anyhow, as soon as she heard her husband putting the phone, she quickly wiped everything away, and she's sitting very, very innocent. She got a blindfold on. Her husband came in the room. He said, "Did you peek? Did you see what a surprise I got for you?" She said, "No." So then he opened the blindfold, and all her family, her in-laws and her parents, everybody was sitting in the room. They all had come to visit her. It was a surprise. So now you can imagine what embarrassment this person had gone through. So outwardly she was feeling very, very nice. "I'm passing all those winds." But imagine the embarrassment she had to face there. So we also in this world, outwardly we get a lot of enjoyment from certain gunas. But imagine the embarrassment on the day of Qiyamah. When a person will come and everybody, then you'll see on a big screen, "Oh, you did this guna, you did that guna, you did that sin." How embarrassed the person will be. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that a person realizes the evil and the gravity of sins. Outwardly it might seem a bit enjoyable. And the person seems, "I'm getting some benefit from it." And every guna has got that. Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi says, Allah ta'ala doesn't tell us in the Quran anywhere, don't eat excreta, don't eat urine, don't drink urine. Because those are such filthy things, no one will even go to it. But where there is harm for a person, there's a bit of enjoyment. So that's the one where Allah ta'ala knows it's harm for us. Allah ta'ala says, "Stay away from this. This is haram for you. This is harmful for you. There is a bit of enjoyment in there. Stay away. Khamar, alcohol, drugs, gambling, zina, fornication, all of these things. Outwardly they seems a bit of enjoyment. But the harms are far, far greater. That is why Allah ta'ala prohibited us from it. Because Allah loves us. Because He's Rahman, He's the most merciful. He wants our dunya to be made also. So Allah ta'ala says, stay away from all of these haram things. So inshallah tomorrow we will get the opportunity. How can a person come out from gunas and sins? What is the ilaj and what is the cure? Which Allah Ta'ala mentions in the next ayat of the Quran Sharif. How can a person be cured from this gunas and sins? One very, very easy ilaj and cure. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us understand today what is the gravity of sins. Every single guna and sin is very, very harmful. It will destroy my dunya also. It will destroy my life of the qabr also. It will destroy my life of akhirat. Outwardly, thori der ki lazzat, but hamesha ki zillat. Little bit of enjoyment I will get in this world. But imagine the disgrace, the embarrassment I have to face thereafter, forever and forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq of understanding, and give us tawfiq and ability to abstain from all kinds of substance. Subhanallah.